This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour. As another trading week begins, I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We have overcast conditions, a little rain and drizzle, a high temperature of 52. Right now, we've got 51 degrees.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update from Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the Dow is up 36 points, or about 0.2%. NASDAQ gaining almost 1%, or 66 points, moving to 7330. And the S&P higher by 9. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index up 0.2%. Wall Street would really like Apple and Netflix to get together. JP Morgan Chase is the latest to suggest that Apple could use its massive cash pile to buy Netflix. Activision Blizzard and Sonos are two other companies that JP Morgan sees as strong strategic fits for Apple, and stock in the company is up more than 2.5%. That's really helping to lift all three of the averages. The Commerce Department reports a bigger than expected drop in factory orders for November. They were down 0.6%. That was one of the reports delayed by the 5-week partial government shutdown. And oil is coming back from steeper losses, still down about 1.25%. To $54.50. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're talking about the economy and what we're expecting for the week ahead this week. Also, we're expecting pretty soon the Chicago Auto Show. We'll be talking about that.
The roller coaster continues at Papa John's. A big infusion of cash is heading to the company. And it is Stock Picker Monday. An investing pro will join us to give you some advice for your portfolio. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Chicago Auto Show is going to open to the public on Saturday. We're going to get a sneak peek in our next segment. But right now, the week ahead will include key data from the services sector, plus another round of earnings reports. We welcome Tom Hudson, the week ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services in Miami. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Tom. It's an interesting kind of thread that investors are watching the Fed, and the Fed is saying it's going to hold rates for now, which you thought that that's what they wanted to hear. But now that has anxiety in the sector. What
yeah.
The Fed can't do anything without being criticized here.
Well, yeah, I guess it comes with that big granite building in Washington, D.C., maybe. But I think you're absolutely right. When the Federal Reserve last week came out with that statement, using the P word, patience, in its statement regarding short-term interest rates, I think obviously there was kind of a bit of a release valve, some relief and patience on the part of investors. There was a second statement the Federal Reserve released the same day, which did not get nearly as much attention. This was the statement that it talked about. It was beginning kind of a debate or a conversation about what it said would be adjustments, potential adjustments, to its $50 billion a month roll-off, the so-called quantitative tightening that's happening and has been happening over the past year. So I think, as we move further beyond last week's meeting, people kind of absorb not only what the Fed was saying, how it's saying it, that the Federal Reserve has changed its language and its tone in a relatively short period of time. Remember, it was just in December when it raised interest rates, and here we are 6, 7, 8 weeks later, and it's now guiding patience.
Well, it's going to have to extend a hand there and make sure that investors know what it's saying clearly.
Yeah, if only it could talk out of one side of its mouth, not both sides of its mouth. But that's what the Federal Reserve does. It has its open market committee. It's also its open mouth policy, which is trying to guide the market toward some kind of understanding of where the Federal Reserve thinking is at. And I think right now the understanding is the Federal Reserve has gotten cautious in a relatively short period of time for lots of different reasons, and no shortage of concern about what that may mean later on in the year.
And so what do you attribute the sort of change in rhetoric from the Federal Reserve to? Obviously, we're kind of reading the tea leaves and even addressing that, but it's a pretty abrupt switch.
Yeah, I think it is. I don't want to make too much of it, but I think it is a kind of an abrupt switch, given the Federal Reserve likes to move with due caution. And frankly, I'm not sure we're going to be able to suss out really what has significantly statistically contributed to this change in tone, in part because the government shutdown and some of these delayed government economic data reports that we need to be able to see, and how they're going to be skewed because of the government shutdown, that you're going to have kind of an asterisk for the next couple of months with some of these data points. And it's going to provide more anxiety and obviously more room for debate about what it means.
Are we economically, are we sort of in a sweet spot right now when you have jobs, you have inflation, you have wages? I mean, you certainly want jobs and wages to go up. You just want, yeah. Don't want them to go up too fast.
Right. Not too fast, not too far. Too fast. You know, I think it is the sweet spot when you look at the data that's on the table right now. And I think that's what we're going to hear in terms of the economic tone that President Trump takes with the State of the Union address this week. And rightfully so, he's going to trumpet the fact that unemployment has dropped considerably. New job creation is like gangbusters. Pay increases are in there. The fact is since March, there have been more job openings each month in the United States than people who are actually looking for work and unemployed. So the Trump administration can rightfully claim and pound its chest on the current economic data, but you've got the government shutdown, obviously, that continues to loom over the economy still again in a week and a half. You've got the trade war with China coming to another head in March. Corporate earnings growth is slowing. The federal budget deficit has spiked. Confidence for the consumer has seemingly topped out for the time being. So there's all this other kind of debris in the data that is clouding this outlook and adding to this anxiety.
Let's go to looking at stocks for a moment here.
Okay.
J.P. Morgan said today that Apple should buy Netflix. Do we hear a ring on Wall Street?
Boy, you know, we've heard that tone before, certainly. It's not a new idea, per se. And Apple and its cash hoard has been huge, and there's been a lot of anticipation over a lot of years about Apple making some kind of big step into video, stronger and in a bigger way than Apple TV. And Netflix obviously is swallowing up a lot of cash very, very fast as it creates this content to continue to feed its pipeline. So, you know, on paper, this seemingly looks like a deal that would be attractive. Whether or not the cultures fit, whether or not the markets fit, how do you maximize both sides of this for Apple? I think that remains, at least for investors, remains really to be spelled out.
Tom Hudson, always good analysis. Thanks for being with us. Tom is the Week Ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services. Coming up, a preview of the 2019 Chicago Auto Show. It's just around the corner.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The always anticipated Chicago Auto Show gets underway later this week. Its profile will be even higher in the coming years. To talk about it, we're joined by Dave Sloan, general manager of the Chicago Auto Show. Dave, before we talk about what people can expect at this year's show, you are moving up in the auto show schedule. Tell us about this, and what does it mean? Why is it a good thing for Chicago?
Well, happy Monday. I'm glad. Thanks for giving me time to speak with you today. You know, we really haven't moved. It's just the other shows have moved around us. So the Detroit Auto Show is moving to June, and that puts us first for the calendar year.
And does that in any way increase any sort of any automobiles you'll have, any activities that you'll have? Does it make Chicago more prominent, maybe?
It changes, yeah, the tenor of the media preview. And now the automakers aren't using media previews like they once did, which is what facilitated Detroit's move. But the Chicago Auto Show has been in February since after World War II. And we've always been in this spot because it's the best time for the Chicago auto market, for all the dealers who are members of our association, because it really gets the spring selling season off and running.
Does it matter who starts first?
Well, for the season, you could say L.A. in the fall might be the first, but obviously it helps us a lot not to have Detroit so close to us, because it gives the automakers more time to move in some of these massive displays that they bring into McCormick Place.
Tell us something special about what we're going to see with the Chicago Auto Show.
Well, you've seen it for 15 years. Jeep has had their indoor test track, and it's back this year. But now Land Rover is building an indoor test track as we speak, and that's really going to be cool. Another one in Ram truck, and then Kia's got an indoor test track. So the Detroit Auto Show is moving to the summer, so they can accommodate more test drive opportunities and things like that, more interactivity. And thankfully, we have McCormick Place, so we can do it all indoors.
And the backdrop in terms of the economy and sales of cars, how does that fit in?
So it's interesting. You know, they forecasted a decline last year, but they forecasted a bigger decline than we experienced. So we're plateauing at about 17 million vehicles, and that's not a bad plateau to be near. The NAD, National Auto Dealers Association, forecasts 16.8 million for the coming year new car sales. And so we'll see how it all shakes out.
What do you make of the sort of the luxury dealers not necessarily investing in the shows like they used to? What's behind that?
Well, again, it's the manufacturers rather than the dealers. And the dealers would love everybody to be on the show floor, that's for sure. So we have Porsche, Audi, Lexus, Infiniti, Cadillac, you name it, they're here. But we are missing a couple this year, BMW and Mercedes. Oddly enough, though, Mercedes-Benz Vans is going to be here at the show in a 12,000-square-foot display, so go figure.
So how do you find when people show up at the auto show, how are they using it? Is it just car enthusiasts who just love to see cars, or are there a lot of potential buyers who want that hands-on experience?
Absolutely. 70% of the adults that come to our show intend to buy a new vehicle in the following 12 months. So we have a lot of shoppers, a lot of car enthusiasts, a lot of people who are stuck in their house all last week and need 1 million square feet to stretch their legs. It's a great place to be.
All right, Dave, good luck to you on this year's auto show. Chris and I will be broadcasting.
We'll see you there.
Yeah, that's right. We'll see you there. We'll be broadcasting the Noon Business Hour from the auto show on President's Day, February 18th, and the entire midday show will be there that day. Other WBBM folks will be there throughout the auto show as well, so stay tuned. Dave Sloan, General Manager, Chicago Auto Show. Still ahead, an update on the markets from Bloomberg.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Business news sponsored by Baird. And here's Elisa.
Well, Chris, we are in the green here across the board. The Dow up 42 points to 25,105. NASDAQ advancing almost 1% or 64 points. And the S&P higher by 8. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg gaining 0.2%. Crude oil futures are coming back from deeper losses, but still down almost 1.5% to $54.47 a barrel. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Grains have been mixed with narrow ranges. Corn's been up 1.5 to down 1.25. At the moment, we have July up a quarter at 395. Beans have been down 3 to up 6. At the moment, November's are up 4 at 961.25. And wheat's been down 3 to up 4. At the moment, we have July wheat up a quarter at 532.25. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities and Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are higher at this hour. We'll see what's moving Wall Street.
It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll have a couple of ideas from a money pro.
The founder of Papa John's Pizza and the company's board present rival plans for its ownership future.
O'Hare Airport has surpassed Atlanta Hartsfield-Jackson for the busiest in the country.
The president of a Virginia university University says Governor Ralph Northam won't be a part of her inauguration this week after the revelation of a racist photo in his medical school yearbook.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 39, about 40 points. The NASDAQ up 62 and the S&P 500 up by 8.
51 degrees in Chicagoland with clouds throughout the day. Tomorrow, a high of 29 degrees, but we will get some sunshine tomorrow. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, the markets are making some gains today. We're joined by Brian Battle, Director of Trading at Performance Trust Capital Partners here in Chicago. Brian, welcome to the Noon Business Hour. What's moving the markets today?
Well, thanks, Chris. We're having kind of a quiet open today, kind of a quiet beginning of February, and that's not unreasonable given that we had the best month since October 15 in the S&P 500, best year in 3 years, or best month in 3 years. So the Dow is up about 7% in January, S&P up about 7.75%, and the NASDAQ up almost 10%. So there's some fatigue that we've come a long way in January, but remember that's after the holy cow, the world is ending in December. So a quiet start to this week. We had the unemployment number out last week. We're getting some certainty around some of the facts that we've been waiting for, and it's earnings week.
What is it that you're looking at in terms of what you want to trade or find something new? What are you looking at?
So overall, in general, the market has been waiting for three things. First is we had uncertainty around the midterm elections. And so it looks like we're going to have gridlock in Washington, D.C. So it doesn't look like there's going to be a lot more regulatory relief for another tax bill. The second thing we're waiting for is indications that the economy is doing better. And that is going to have something to do with the trade deals we're going to get with Mexico, Canada, and especially China. So that's one thing we're kind of still waiting for. We're in the middle of earnings season there. But the thing that got us the biggest relief was we had a wonderful unemployment number last Friday, non-farm payrolls up 300,000, but no pressure on earnings. So that lets the Federal Reserve say, hey, we're not going to raise interest rates. We're going to wait and see how it goes. And that's just given a huge relief to the U.S. stock market. So I think what you should look for is just a warning, as we always say on the program, is if you've waited until the new year or procrastinated, here's a great chance to look at your 401k, see what you're invested in for the new year, make sure you have a balanced investment plan. And I'd be careful about overseas investments. You know, as the world economy, if the global economy slows down, it's going to be way worse in emerging markets than it is in the U.S. So I just check your exposure, certainly in stocks and bonds, but U.S. and non-U.S.
You touched on the employment picture and how certainly that report was good. Talk about wage growth and how investors weigh that. It seems like a really difficult dance to walk because if people have more money, they may spend more money, but that money has to come from employers.
Right. That's right, Cisco. So we're at this weird place in the U.S. where we have a growing economy. The unemployment number is really, really low, but there doesn't seem to be much pressure on wages. There's not a lot of wage pressure. You would think that as businesses hire people that have to pay more to get them to switch jobs or to come back off the sidelines. So that's something that's known as slack. It's something that has been plaguing the Federal Reserve as they don't understand how people are going to have such great unemployment numbers, but wages aren't going up. So that idea of slack, meaning is that slack means that there's more people unemployed or underemployed than the Federal Reserve can measure. So the unemployment numbers might not be as exact as the Fed thinks. So I think that's why we got relief from the increases from the Federal Reserve, because they don't quite understand that mechanism, how wages aren't going up. No matter what the bigger picture is, the unemployment rate is very low. If you're looking for a job, it's a great place to look because employers are complaining they can't find people. So there is enough slack in the economy to prevent wages from going up broadly, but that probably isn't true in cities that are growing like crazy, like in Dallas and Austin or Houston. The wage gains are probably greater there than in smaller communities or in states that aren't growing as fast.
It seemed as if the tech area was really the star in recent months and in the last year or so. Is that an area that you're examining for more investment?
Yeah, tech has come a long way, and tech got destroyed in December because it had rallied so far. So I think it's healthy for the economy, for the stock market to go up and down. Remember, the stock market is not the economy. But what we are watching for is earnings season. So the most important thing investors can do is watch the earnings seasons and the announcements from businesses. So instead of listening to economists or watching Wall Street analysts, listen to what the companies actually say about their business and listen to what they think about the future. So far this year, about half of the companies, 234 out of the S&P 500, have reported results. And overall, they said they're doing better. They think their earnings are up 18% compared to 50% last year. So 70% of the companies reporting are doing better than anyone expected. So that's a good sign for the U.S. economy that the people that run these businesses and the people that have to project for the future are feeling good and are reporting better than expected results when they look back.
Where are your largest investments and how are they doing?
So that is a really general and specific question, Chris. So I don't know how to answer that one. Other than to say, personally, I'm way more domestic focused than foreign focused because of the threats to global trade and because of the political risk we're going to face in the next 2 years as we have another presidential election. You know, the last one was tumultuous, so this one will be also. I think people should not forget part of the things that we underreport is your fixed income portfolio. What is your bond allocation? So the thing we all have to remember is that you can't predict interest rates. Right now, the 10-year is 2.7%, 10-year treasury notes 2.7%. A month ago, a month and a half ago, it was 3.2%, and everyone was sure rates are going to rise. So we should spend less time trying to predict what's going to happen about the future and spend a lot of time strategizing about what kind of portfolio do we want to construct, no matter what happens to interest rates or what happens to the political actors.
Always great insight. Thanks. Brian Battle, Director of Trading at Performance Trust Capital Partners here in Chicago. Up next, a national pizza chain faces turbulent times.
A wealth of information for managing your money. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
There's a lot going on behind the scenes at Papa John's. Let's get all the latest from Scott DeVoe, a reporter at Bloomberg based in York. Scott, before we have you tell us about the latest piece of drama here in kind of the news today, give us a thumbnail sketch of what's been going on recently at Papa John's. A lot of turbulence.
Yeah, well, as you recall, obviously Papa John's, the pizza maker, has been locked in a kind of a battle with its founder, John Schnatter, and it stemmed largely from these accusations that he made some racist comments on a conference call, that led to a huge backlash at the company, and since then they've been kind of locked in a very public battle for control of the company.
And so the latest bit today, you have Papa John trying to get control again. It doesn't look like it's going to happen, though.
Well, Papa John's basically struck a deal today with activist investor Starboard Value, in which the New York hedge fund is going to inject about $200 million into the company. Obviously, the company has been looking at all kinds of alternatives, including a sale, but all of those have kind of come up dry, and they think that this might put them on the proper footing going forward to kind of win back customers and hopefully get the company back on the right track.
Would this entail changing the name of the company? If people are carrying this around, the association with what he said, they'll never go back again.
I'm not sure if it'll go that far in terms of a names change. I guess the problem with that is that it's basically like starting up a new company, which maybe to some wouldn't be such a bad idea. But I think my understanding as to what the strategy for turning around the company is to move the marketing away from the founder and onto the product itself, and try to differentiate the pizza maker in the market amongst its competitors.
I've noticed that even on the boxes, they no longer have his face on that. It's kind of difficult, though, because, his name is the name of the company.
Well, not just that. He also owns about 32% of the company and sits on the board. So he obviously opposed this deal with Starboard today and offered some alternative financing by himself. But the board rejected that because they're obviously trying to distance themselves from him and the negative impact and connotation he's having on the brand. I don't know how easy it is to distance yourself from somebody that owns a third of the company and sits on the board, but, you know, that's what they're trying to do here.
Has he apologized?
He has denied that he made the comments, despite the fact that there were, you know, there were recordings of it. And I think, you know, the company itself has distanced itself from the comments. And of course, as we've said, you know, from the marketing as well, and that included him. I mean, we all saw the NFL ads through that sponsorship arrangement that has since been terminated.
Sort of interesting. I mean, regardless of whether they should or shouldn't distance themselves from him, sort of a side point, just the interesting nature of the fact that here you have a guy who starts a company, takes it public, and now his company, yeah, he still owns a third of it, but the company can essentially be led by completely different people, and there's really not much you can do about it once you're public.
Well, yep, that's the nature of selling yourself and becoming a public company. You no longer own the company. The shareholders do.
Scott DeVoe, thanks for all the information and bringing us up to date. Scott is a reporter at Bloomberg based in New York. This time tomorrow, Travel Tuesday. Still to come, our Monday stock picker.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour, and helping us out this afternoon is Adam Sarhan, founder and CEO of 50parkinvestments.com and findleadingstocks.com in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Adam, what's your first stock today?
Sure. The first stock today is Facebook. Everyone's familiar with the company. The stock has been under pressure over the last 4, 5, 6 months. Due to a lot of PR, but fundamentally nothing's really changed. People still use the platform. Advertisers are still advertising. The company just reported earnings, and the earnings were very, very strong. So clearly the company is firing on all cylinders, and the stock is on sale here as investors can buy it 20% below its recent high.
So people who sign on to it keep it, and they keep doing it.
Exactly, and it's also recession-proof, right? Because the people that use Facebook, they don't have to pay anything. It's free. Now, the advertisers that want to advertise to those people can advertise at any cost that they want. They can spend whatever they want to spend. But the point is, in a strong economy, weak economy, people still want to check their friends. They want to check their Facebook. They want to see what's going on. And that's very good for advertisers.
Okay, first one is Facebook. What's your second pick?
The second one is Starbucks. And alongside Facebook, Starbucks is another leading stock that's been acting very, very strong over the last several years. And right now, the stock is trading right below its record high. It's offering investors a chance to get in on growth prospects going forward. They've done very aggressive growth on the West, and now they're moving out to Asia and growing aggressively there. China is a big up-and-coming market for them with a billion potential people, and India as well, another billion-plus people. So they're expanding out in Asia, and in the U.S. and even Europe, Starbucks does very, very well. And the best thing that Starbucks has going for it, in my opinion, is that the customers are literally addicted to its product. So it's not a bad place to be.
Yeah, it's not like all of a sudden you're going to have a bunch of people giving up coffee.
Exactly.
All
and
right.
It's one of those inexpensive treats that people can treat themselves for $5 and feel good that they're spending on themselves without spending $50 or $100 or $5,000 or whatever the case may be.
All right, Adam.
Cheap luxury.
Thanks so much. Adam Sarhan, findleadingstocks.com, 50parkinvestments.com. These two picks today, Starbucks and Facebook. Bloomberg checks the markets next as they are rising. WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of Wall Street. Sponsored by finishingchicago.com at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, Apple's gains on the day have grown now higher by 3%, and that's lifting all of Wall Street, with the Dow up 83 points, or a third of a percent now, NASDAQ gaining 1%, or 72 points, and the S&P advancing by 12. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is higher by 0.75%. The Super Bowl pitted not only the Rams against the Patriots, but also five car makers against each other. They ran a combined 6 commercials during the game for 6 minutes, 30 seconds in airtime. Cars.com looked at which ads generated the most online car shopping during the game on its site. The winner was Hyundai, which saw a 1,800% jump. Mercedes drew 720% more online shoppers, and Audi came in a close third. Gillette has a new competitor in a major discount chain. Flamingo, which sells hair removal products for women online, has just sealed a deal with Target to sell its razors, wax strips, lotions, and gel in its brick-and-mortar store starting today. Each year, women spend more than $1 billion on razors and blades, according to Euromonitor. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.